Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club Podcast, episode 180. Today, George and I are joined by Dylan Jacobs. Dylan, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm just happy to see Maya's reaction when she finds out I'm on the pod again. See how mad she gets.
She'll be pretty jealous.
It's going to be great.
That. She will. But Dylan is here, and we got a lot to talk about. Last time Dylan was on, it was about 2-3 months ago. He had just joined the team fresh. Things were going well, and then now all those, you know, those promises have been put into results, and we're seeing a couple, some big. Wait, was your 5K PB? Big 3K PB.
No, actually.
Big.
I have no clue.
Unknown, maybe potential 5K PB. Big result at World Indoors. Most recently coming 5th in the 3K. And this weekend, he's off to Jamaica to compete in the, is it inaugural? Is that a word you would use here?
Yeah. That sounds like the right word.
That's the right word. That's
a good Grand one. Slam.
You're a busy man.
Dude, it's been a lot. I feel like I'm traveling the world, dude. This is
you sick. Literally are.
Yeah, I guess I am. It's exciting, man. It's a lot, though. But I think the coolest part is actually racing against the top competitors for the first time, I feel like, ever. And, like, getting in there and just being like, oh, shoot. I guess it's just normal racing.
It's time to race.
Like, you go and you, like, see all these people on TV doing all this stuff at, like, the Olympics, whatever it is. And you're like, oh, these guys are unreal. And then you get there and it's like, it's just a race. You're just in it. You're just doing your thing, you know?
100%. I think, speaking of, let's just dive into your recent World Indoors trip to China, Nanjing.
Yeah, what a trip, man.
Yeah.
What a trip.
So this was your first time representing Team USA. Is that correct? Did you make a junior team?
I represented in Scotland or Edinburgh for cross country, but first senior team, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how was it? How was the trip? How was China? I know it's far from Illinois.
Yeah, it was a great trip, man. It was really far from Illinois. It was a long travel trip there, but once we got there, I mean, the setup was unbelievable. I feel like China was a lot different than I expected to. It's like, I mean, there was just a casual mall right next to us. Like,
what
there was
only, what is
it? I honestly have no clue. I have no, but like when you're going, you're told all this stuff. It's like, oh, you
don't
can't
eat
bring
the meat.
Yeah, and then they're like, they told us not to bring like caffeine because it's like looked at as really bad there or something. But it was honestly great time. And granted, we were in like a hotel kind of separated from a lot of stuff, but we went to downtown.
I heard that you were a massive hit with the local community. I don't know if you knew this, George, but on the, I think it was maybe their final day in China, they went out for a little stroll and just the locals just could not stop getting pictures with Dylan and complimenting his looks.
It was probably everyone.
Everyone in China.
They might, everyone. No, they might have saw me first, but it was probably everyone in the
I heard group. All the attention was focused on you and Sinta.
Yeah, mostly. There were two like super fans outside the hotel though, and they like when Ollie first came down, they loved it. They were like talking about the coffee club, I think. Like they loved it.
Wait.
There were two
local
China,
coffee club
two
in
local,
China?
I think. I'm not sure. Maybe it wasn't. We'll have to ask him, but there were two who like loved Ollie right when he came down. Like nice. And we were up at breakfast and they like
shout
went up
China.
And they're like, oh, Ollie, good luck in the race tonight. And they kept doing like, fight on was their thing.
It
was
fight
like,
on.
Fight on, fight on.
Dude, on's gonna trademark that.
But it was a great time, man. People would just kind of walk by though and just like slyly have their phone out, like, just videoing you. And it's like everyone could see what we were doing. Sinta at one point just took her phone and put it right back to them.
Just reverse Uno card.
Exactly. They loved it. But
that's a good move.
What are you guys doing out in town? Can you go out? Like, were you guys going out for coffee? Like, was that
They went out to, for coffee. Everything was pretty cheap there too. So like they got like, it's called Didi, I think. Basically their Uber. Mm-hmm. And it was like, $10 to get into downtown, which is like 20 minutes away.
They said it was $1 to get to the cafe that they were going to.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Like crazy cheap.
Like unbelievable. I got KFC in the Beijing airport when I first got there, man. $4. It was great. It was great.
What other Chinese food did you enjoy?
Well, we had a lot of, at the hotel they had food, or breakfast, lunch, dinner. That everyone had, and it was the same thing over and over again, but it was a lot of popcorn chicken, some chicken and rice.
Dumplings? Did you eat any
dumplings? There were some dumplings, good dumplings. Yeah, it was interesting, man. It was some good stuff, though.
I love it. And so that mindset that you talked about the switch between watching the best runners in the world and then racing among them, how did that play out for you in the race? Because the thing with the 3K, maybe compared, like we talked about a bunch of the races last week, the 1500 had 8 or 9 people in the final, whereas the 3K was a straight final. So it was a lot of bodies and it was really stacked. Like there was so many good athletes in it. And yeah, racing on that small indoor track against that many people was always difficult. How did you navigate that? I saw a couple of elbows.
Yeah, you definitely, you were getting amongst that, actually.
I feel like I end up in that way too much. I don't know why, but I told myself before, I was like, all right, you're just going to just sit in lane one. Don't do anything for 2K. Like this stuff will happen in the last K, like just get ready for it. And then I ended up just 600 in, just passing around, looping, like throwing bows. I was just out there, man.
But, just racing.
Yeah.
Just couldn't help himself.
It was cool though, man. It was a lot of people. And I think the mindset part, like I really realized, cause going in, it was like, oh man, this feels like super class. Like we'll see how it goes. And then it was, I remember with 400 to go being like, oh wait, I'm actually in this. Like I have a chance to medal. And I probably shouldn't say that with like, if the coach is here, cause I was like saying I was confident about that beforehand, but like the switch of really believing it. And it came with 400 to go cause the body was like, all right. And you're getting ready to like gear up and everything. But yeah, I think it's just getting in there and realizing it's just a race, man. It's just like, you can't look at PBs or what people have accomplished. It's just, you're there, you're doing your thing.
How nice was it having Kai in there? Just like the months of you guys have put in together before that. And then you're on the line together at Worlds.
Was
that fun?
Like when he came around, I think it was with 800 and he like kind of made a move to the front. It was like, oh, okay. Like, let's go. We're gone. Like yeah, normally I probably wouldn't have, but it's like, oh yeah, that's my teammate. We train together, race together. So that's like, sick. we're going to get going.
It was cool seeing you guys, like for a little bit, you guys were running right next to each other. I was like, oh, boys are rolling, this is sick.
I think it was like around eight or six to go. He like moved into first and I remember going right behind him and I was like, man, I need a picture of this. Like, I really want a picture of this. Like mid race. I was like, this is so sick.
Thinking about the right things.
But no, it is cool. I mean, yeah, that field is great. And it was on the indoor track, it's weirder because it's just, there's so much going on. Like just so much. Just harder to pass, more moves being like made, it feels like, when you're in there. But no, that's what racing is. That's what it's about. I feel like nowadays we time trial so much at like so many meets leading up to championship that it's nice to get in one like that. And you're really just racing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that'll set you up really well your big goals for the year is to go to USA's, get on that 5K team and then be at Worlds and outdoors and compete. That, I think a race like that sets you up super well for the type of racing that you'll need to be prepared for when it comes down to fighting for those spots. But before we look that far ahead, you've made it back from China and then within two weeks back home, or not even, you're heading off to Jamaica.
Yeah, not even, week and a half. Heading off to Jamaica. Yeah, we leave Wednesday, so it's gonna be a good one. The travel's a bit easier getting there. I think it's like only 6 hours of flying, so that's a lot better. But
first class, I heard.
I don't know. That's what Yara's saying. I haven't like...
You got your ticket?
Yeah, they sent the itinerary. I need to look at it, man.
It must be.
If it is, that'd be great.
Yeah. Unless it's like sold out because the races booked their things first, but
yeah.
I think that's they got to stand by that. And I'm sure they do.
I heard they got everything set up. That's what Yara's saying. Like, I heard it's going to a nice hotel, like good food. And then obviously.
It'd be funny if that's all just for Yara. And then for you, it's like, oh.
Yeah. You can actually take a bus.
So yeah. You didn't organize a hotel?
Yeah. Could you imagine? Oh, gosh.
No, I'm sure it will not be that. You know, there's a chance that Kyle Merver is listening and that he's put a lot into, him and the team have put a lot into making this the most premium racing experience that exists in our sport, and it looks like it's shaping up to be that. Dylan is going to race in the 3K 5K group, which competes on Friday Sunday.
Yeah.
Which one is first?
The 5K is first.
Okay,
then 3K middle of the day, so it's gonna be hot. Gotta hydrate this week, get ready for it,
gotta hydrate, drink some water. it's gonna be, I mean, where I'm, as a viewer, as a fan of the sport, very excited to see it unfold. It's going to be such a, like for someone racing, it's going to be such a novel experience. Just eight dudes in a 5K, and it's eight of the quickest dudes in the world.
Yeah.
You don't see that too often.
And it's 90 degrees in the middle of the day in Jamaica.
Yeah. Like, I haven't even like thought much about that. That it's just like, we're going to line up just eight dudes. You know, you got two races against these guys and it's just, you're going in. But I assume, I mean, that it's going to be packed. A lot of people are going to be watching and the environment's going to be like.
How nervous is Kyle right now, do you think?
Like, dude, I mean, that it
goes well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole team has to be pretty nervous. I don't know how many millions of dollars have been put into this event. And I think, I don't know how long term like their investments are, but obviously you want to see things start moving as quickly as possible. And a lot rides on every single one. There's only four events of the whole year. So, you know, it's not like even a different sport where there's maybe 20 or so events. There's four events, so you want each of them to pop, and it's, yeah, as we said, like a new thing. So
you know they want to start.
There's a lot of risk.
You know they want to start with like a bang too. They're not like trying to ease into it.
I'm almost surprised they didn't do the first one in a more reliable spot.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what the most reliable spot is. I'm thinking maybe LA will be more. I don't even know though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I mean.
It makes sense. I mean, I think they.
International is important. Like, yeah, it's going to be, it's the only one. So this is like, it's definitely a big one, but.
And I guess the weather, if they wanted to host it in Jamaica, the weather is probably just getting less good.
Hotter and hotter.
Yeah.
So they did have to have it early. It does all make sense. So you're lining up against, we'll do a bit of a preview. We won't do like the deepest dive preview of Grand Slam, but we'll definitely look at Dylan's race since he's joining us here today. So off the top of my head, 3K, 5K, Grant.
Yeah.
Races. Grant, Hagos, Gebrewit.
I forget the Kenyan's name.
Kumoy.
There's three races.
Ronald Kumoy.
Yeah.
I think.
Luis is sitting
and
this one out.
Luis is sitting out, so there's five challenges.
And the challenge is Thierry.
Cooper.
Indica Manayu.
Yeah. Cooper, Telehun, Dylan, CPT.
Yeah.
He's just replaced.
Yeah.
Dominic Lubalu.
Yeah. So it's fucking stacked. We've been hearing chatter from Dylan all week about who he's trying to pick off to increase his prize money. When you look at a field like that, I mean, do you even think about it? He's like, all right, we're just racing.
Yeah, I think we're just racing. I mean, you're gonna go into it and it's just, once you're in it, you're just in it. Like, some people are probably going to be really on, some are going to be off. I mean, it's pretty early. I feel like a lot of people haven't raced that close to this. Like maybe like a month and a half ago. So I think they're going to, like, we're going to see a lot. And like the racers, they have to race each other in eight races, I guess, just throughout this for the early part of the year. So it's just going to be a lot of.
And is there sports betting on it?
There is. So that's like one of the new things. Yeah. Yeah. It's.
How do we look at that? All right, you're not allowed to talk about that, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, we're not allowed to bet either.
I'm not in it.
No, but I don't even think teammates are allowed to bet.
Yeah, I don't think teammates, coaches, anything.
Because I'm too close to Dylan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you guys could make a little handshake dealio.
Yeah. Well, I'd just be like, yeah, I'm about to go win, so.
All right. put it on me. Oh, shit. That's obvious.
No, it should be like boxing, or I think it's boxing where you're only allowed to bet on yourself.
Like, who's the odds? I want to see who's the favorite right
now.
Yeah,
it's been fun in the past years because the only time that we've really seen odds come out is around, like, world champs from memory. I think that's the only meet that's, like, big enough to garner, like, actual sports betting houses taking interest. I think this is something that's cool. I mean, actually, we've talked about betting on the podcast before a long time ago, and we were super pro betting. And then we had actually a really thoughtful message from a kid who I can't remember how old he is, if he was high school or college, but he listed like all the reasons why sports betting is like terrible. Yeah. And I was like, I can't disagree with you.
Yeah.
Like in terms of how bad it just is for like a society and the negative repercussions of it. But it is interesting to look at odds as as commentators on the sport and friends.
Dude, that's the thing. I feel like no matter, it's always interesting stuff like this. Yeah. Like it could be very bad for some people, but that's what kind of.
It's undeniable that that sports betting seems to help make money for sports and help with excitement. So from that aspect, maybe even selfishly looking at it, it's good. But yeah, there's definitely, we do want to put a little disclaimer that I think we don't know how we feel about sports betting.
Yeah.
Is that fair disclaimer?
Probably. If you got to go watch John Oliver's.
Is it super against it?
Just very enlightening on how like big an impact sports betting is having right now. It was like, it's a recent one, only a few weeks ago, on those sports and how like since it's been legalized in like almost every state. I don't know how many states. A lot. Like it's it's terrible for people.
Yeah.
I mean they're trying to get people addicted.
Yeah.
But
I've been seeing
the amount of money it makes these big sports is freaking ridiculous.
I was watching March Madness and I like just saw commercials from the NCAA and it's like stop threatening kids because you lost a bet or something like that. Like the NCAA posts a commercial and it's like,
yeah, that's scary.
Sponsored by the NCAA. Yeah,
that's scary.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But do we have odds? So there's not odds.
I couldn't find them.
I guess we'll see how that maybe that developed throughout the season. But yeah, I think, well, from our perspective, it's going to be so hard to predict the races. And I guess, especially being the first one of the season, even the races, they're all spread out a month apart. So, you know, it can change within a month. But I think that's a really good thing that there is uncertainty, because I've always thought that within this sport, whenever it's too predictable what's going to happen, you know, that leads to a more boring event. I mean, it's amazing if someone goes out there and is breaking a world record. But aside from that, it's you want unpredictability and you want different people winning every time. So I'm really looking forward to that aspect of this. I'm looking forward to Dylan getting out there and everybody that he gets, I'm going to be like, dude, that's an extra $5,000 for my boy. Is it more? It's more maybe. I don't even know. It's big prize money.
It slowly increases depending on like which spot you get.
So when you pass for first, I'd be like, damn, my boy just cashed $100,000. I'm like, yeah.
It's cool. There's actually a lot of odd people going too. So we have like a pretty big contingent that'll be out there for like the inaugural first one.
You mean racing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be sweet. Yeah. I'm like Sage just got.
Sage.
You just found out Sage got the invite.
Yeah, obviously Yard. Yeah. Talahoon, who's coming off the fastest ever 10,001. Actually, that's literally got to be the fastest that anyone has ever run, like 10,050 meters or 10,100 meters. It's definitely going to be the fastest, right?
I don't think anyone has ever kept track of
that. I think there's a world record for that.
maybe one of those like crazy road races someone did.
Win a little extra.
Yeah. I'm even thinking like one of those splits in like the half marathon world record was probably not, but maybe.
That'd be unbelievable.
It would be unbelievable.
All right. What athlete are you most looking forward to seeing at Grand Slam?
In any event?
Yeah, just doing something.
I don't want to sound like too much of a fanboy. But personally, I'm excited to see either Hugo Gebrewet or Grant Fisher.
I think it's interesting seeing what point of this training cycle and seasons these people are like go into it, because they span over like 2 months, right? So it's like
more, is it?
Yeah, it might be more actually. But it's like, when are they gonna like? What are they really like training for? I guess in training, are they trying to like hit this first couple like big, or is it like, oh, they want to slowly get better throughout? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting, man.
Yeah. Do you guys have an answer to that? I don't know if you're allowed to answer that because you're racing, Dylan. So you have to. We're in our looking like podcast. We're in our podcast, yeah. Like talking about the sport mindset. But you have to be in the
race mindset.
You're not allowed to say that you're excited to watch anyone.
No, dude, I'm be honest.
Mine's Michael Arop. I want to see him.
Just want to see him beat Josh. I'll kick this, Josh Gert.
I want to see his 1500 so badly.
Yeah,
dude, I didn't think I would be like that, where I'm like excited to really like see someone else, until I got to China and we were just in the team room and Matthew Bulling, like, dude, I swear, when I was like out of high school, early college, he was like the guy. Like, he was the shit, dude. Yeah. And like, he still is, obviously. He's made so many teams. But yeah, we were just like playing cards and stuff, and I was like,
damn,
like, he's a really cool, chill guy. And I was like, damn, dude, that's kind of cool. Like, yeah. I remember seeing this guy's like split in high school, like just kill some people in Texas in a 4x4. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah. I think overall I'm most excited for the 8:15 group, just because I think that's the most firepower, the most like wild card. Like, that's going to be the hardest one races to predict, I think, because the difference between everyone in those is just the thing with the one of the things that's a potential issue with the 3K and 5K group is that those two events are too similar, whereas the 8 and 15 are different enough that it should introduce a certain level of chaos, and you literally have the best 800 runners in the world and the best 1500 meters in the world except for Jakob, and they're there trying to do the other events and their own events. And so I think, and I'm speaking, yeah, particularly like on the men's side, they really secured like literally the best. And so I'm really excited to see that play out.
That is hard to predict, because it's like, although I guess each race they have to, like the 15 people can't be going in and like, oh yeah, let's make it tactical. Cause it's like, you got 800 people just like sitting around that way.
I don't think they think like that.
Really?
I think everyone that's in that event thinks, maybe except for like Yared, I think everyone thinks they have the best kick. Like Yared is someone who I know. Yared has an amazing kick, but I know that he feels confident at the front. I think most other people are more willing to trust their last. Josh is kind of famous for his last, you know, like 600.
Yeah.
I think the 1500 guys will, even if it's tactical early, they will just go earlier.
You think they'll
like,
go
early? That's the only thing I predict. Like, they're not going to run 4 minutes. Like, I don't see them running 4 minutes.
If they were running 4 minutes, I think once you get that slow, yes. Like, the 800 speed starts becoming a factor.
That's what happened in China. That, like, for that last heat in China, they literally ran 4 minutes, and the 800 guys.
Yeah, you're right.
They pulled through easily in that. And then they were, like, out the back in the final because it wasn't a four flat race.
Yeah.
I think once it's, like, high 330s, low 340s, which is tactical for those guys, then I think... Well, then that's the one I'm excited to see what Marco can do, if he can actually do that or not. Yeah.
Would you rather see the 15 first or the 8 first if you were to choose? Or would it not matter?
I don't think it matters for those guys. I think they're strong enough that they'll be able to bring 100% pretty much to both.
Yeah. I think it'll look pretty similar either way.
Yeah. Maybe like confidence-wise, though. Like if you're an 8 guy and it's like the 15, they just go like you're holding on and someone like gets
I'd like to see the 800 first because I'd like to see the 800 guys... do their thing, and I bet you there'll be 1500 guys that come through and like beat really good 800 guys in the 8 in certain races. Like I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, but then yeah, I'd like to see 800 guys take it to them, and then the 1500 guys have like kind of a bit of a chip on their shoulder and be thinking, oof, we gotta go dominate our own event. But yeah
dude, it's gonna be good. It's good. It's gonna be like fun obviously being there and racing, but also like watching all this like happen. It's just, I mean, the first of its kind, so it's super exciting.
And I wonder what the bar for success is set at for like.
Yeah, how do you even? What are the metrics
for Kyle and the NBA?
What's it? How do you even watch it?
Peacock.
They're all on Peacock.
But it's on some weird channel, and then plus it's on NBC like Saturday, Sunday. Remember, it's on like the something channel, like. Remember we watched
the Grand
Slam? No one had
channel.
Heard of it.
It's a new it's one.
They made their own TV
show. Instead of ESPN, channel. It's actually that.
And then Peacock, I think, for Saturday, Sunday. I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what time it is, but I'll be tuning in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't even know how long the program is. How long do I have to sit there for?
I assume it's not more than, is it 2 hours even? Probably not even 2 hours a day.
I hope not.
You were saying that. You say the 3K, 5K are real similar. Would you rather see like a 3K half marathon? These guys would have to go do it.
I would. See, the thing is, I think once you get to the 3K, 5K, it's hard to squeeze that into the same format that you'll put like the 100, 200 guys in. Like, I think that's just a kind of nature of the beast type problem.
But I've heard a good suggestion.
What is
it? Distance group, which is before it's even started, is a... Who knows whether the suggestion will be needed. But I do hope like that they adjust things like really quick for like following years.
Yeah,
like,
they should be able to.
But the distance one almost should be like a heat in a final of like a 3K. Like you just run 2 3Ks with more people.
So then some people just get knocked out.
Yeah. And then you just don't make the final. And then maybe it'd be like... like in golf, like if you don't make the final, you don't make any money.
But even then,
so
to
like
me,
2 3Ks, and so it's like heats in a final.
Even then, to me, see, that's like takes away from the product a bit because, I mean, their goal is to have every single race matter the same, and then also, in the same way that I think the 3K and the 5K will be too similar, I think it's going to be like, well. I guess that does leave some intrigue on the table, but it's like, okay, so the best guys are just going to get through and then they're going to be racing. I just think that'll maybe make... I just don't think they want heat or boring heats, which it could potentially be boring compared to what the just an all-out race.
Yeah.
I guess...
But is that going to be different to a tactical 5K with only 8 people?
I would hope so.
It's within a two-hour window.
It is two, so it's 3 days of 2 hours each day.
Yeah.
That's pretty long. 6 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. That'll be interesting if they can keep it entertaining that whole time.
Long breaks between races.
Yeah, that'll be hard to keep entertaining with that amount of races, but maybe not. Maybe the schedule is optimized. But I don't know. My potential solution for the 3K, 5K group would be to have like, but you couldn't have like a 10K. You couldn't have a 10K. It wouldn't work. There's no way that you can really do two races with them. I think potentially just go all in on one race. If it is an issue, maybe it's not an issue. Maybe it's really not. And people are perfectly fine with seeing two similar races. And maybe the field is so close that even though the race, there's still going to be enough uncertainty and enough difference between the two races because everyone's so close to each other that, you know, it'll be like half the time this person win, half the time this person win, and you'll get to see all those different scenarios play out. I mean, it'll be cool to actually see if actually people, that is what happens, like the first race goes a certain way, so then someone chooses to race the next one differently because of what happened in that first race.
True. Yeah. Or I was so actually,
that could be cool.
The heat final, I heard from someone else. What I was thinking the other day is if an 8-person 5K just is for some reason too long or too something,
mm-hmm.
they just make it a 3K 1500 group and either have...
You know what? That's actually amazing. I'll prefer to see a 1500 5K than a 3K 5K from the 5K guys.
A 15 5K or a 15
that
3K?
Would be interesting to
watch. I would prefer to see a 15 5K.
The 15 and a 5K.
Yeah, I would prefer to see that.
The uncertainty is what makes it like it interesting, I feel like.
Because that's not that dissimilar from...
But even 15 3K is very different. They're very different events, I feel
like.
They're
more different. 200
either
5K.
Of them. Those are similar.
Just make it real interesting.
I wonder what is actually the most different, you know, in terms of what's going to bring... Like, is it the 400 to the 400 hurdles? Is that the most different? Or is it the 2-4 group? Because, no, 2 and 4 are pretty similar. But they're not for everyone.
Is having two 1500s a mistake, though? Because obviously they have two of a bunch of the sprint races.
Yeah, it's
they have 200s, two 200s, two 400s. They got two a bunch of those.
I would love to see the best 5K guys in the world have to race each other in 1500.
3K steeple, 5K.
The steeple in there.
Could you imagine?
Dude, I would love to have a reality where you make people just run a steeple. I would love that. As it's because it's what happens essentially in other sports. Not exactly, but you know, in cycling races, you see like Tade having to do a sprint and he's not a sprinter, and you see sprinters having to make it up a mountain, you know, and it's not their specialty.
So you're saying, what if they just pick the groups and then when they show up that weekend, it's chosen out of a hat what events that group is racing?
Essentially. This is the thing with, this is back to the league that we've always talked about. I think you just have a group of racers and you put them through as many entertaining races as possible. That span and a spectrum, so you get as many different results as possible, or as many exciting matchups as possible.
Now, do they have? I actually don't know. Do the racers? Is there like a season long points thing, or is it just every meet is a meet?
Every meet's an Olympics, baby.
Yeah, I'm like 98% sure there's no overall winner.
Do you think that would be cool? Do you think that would add or no?
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if they did that.
I don't know if it would. Like that. I'm just thinking there's no like, there's no prize for winning getting the most points of tennis majors. Like if you win the most of them, or
I guess you have the ranking is really important in tennis though, and it contributes to that.
Yeah, which I think that should still be a thing. But I think just like having the focus on each one at a time and like trying to maximize the focus on that one thing at a time is how you make it feel like the most exclusive.
Yeah.
And how each one is super important.
Unless they did racers are one team, challengers are another, and they like tallied over the time.
You would hope that, I guess, the racers are...
You would hope the racers would.
That'd be an interesting stat at the end of the season. That'd be an interesting stat to see how, like if any event, the challengers actually did better.
Yeah.
That would be wild.
See, to me, it's just another potentially interesting storyline because like the models that I always try to use is like sports like F1. And in F1, every single race is a really big deal. And yet the world being the world champion is an even bigger deal. And I think it's a good storyline. And maybe it, I don't know if it takes away if someone like secures it too early, but I guess in the format of Grand Slam with only four events, like it'd be all of them are very, very important. So it probably wouldn't happen as much.
Didn't that happen with F1 recently? Like by the one in Vegas or something, like the season
they
was
already,
done.
Yeah.
Verstappen won or whatever.
That does happen in F1 for sure. But F1 is like, it is hard to compare to F1 because they've just like mastered so many of the aspects of it. And every single race in F1 is such a big deal. Like if you win a race in F1, that's a career defining thing for you. Like it's literally that big, even though, yeah, you have people winning 100, like the absolute best of the best legends in their career. If you win one in your career, that's
you've made it.
That's like such a big thing to talk about forever. And you're a legend in the,
F1's so if you win this one Grand Slam,
the first, I'm going to try to cancel Grand Slam after.
So we should just quickly say who actually is. So we went through the long distance. I love they're calling it short distance and long distance. The short distance one is Cole Hocker, Josh Kerr, Yared, Marco, A-Rob, who are the racers. And the challenges.
No scratches.
Is Wanyoni, Bryce Hopple, Gurley, and Atawi. That's such a good lineup.
That's so stacked.
That's going to be crazy.
Such a good lineup. The women's short distance is, I mean, they're also stacked. Jess Howe, Nikki, Walteji, Mora, Sage, Heather, Natoya Gul, and Susan. So stacked.
So someone, one of those people scratched though, right?
I don't know who scratched Tele Sage in because that was eight that I just...
Nelly. Cheer.
Oh,
Kenyan woman.
Kenyan. And then the women's long distance is fan favorite Tanaka, our teammate Sige, who we haven't even talked about yet. Sorry, Sige. Agnes Netich. What country is she from?
Ngidich? She's Kenyan.
Elise, Helen Akalele, Whitney, Melissa Courtney Bryant, and Taye. It's like, they're all so stacked.
They are some good people. Do you know what I think?
You can tell that they did struggle to get the same quality in the 3K, 5K group across both genders
across board,
compared to the other ones, which just makes sense. Just
I do think the short distance women, I think the 1500 women have a bigger advantage than the 1500 men.
I agree.
Is one of my expectations.
What?
I agree.
I think 1500 women run better eights than 1500 men.
There's less
like 1500 polarity. Women run like 150 or 159, but 1500 men mostly don't run 141, 142.
Yeah.
I think there's just a bigger gap. So I think the stronger women are going to prevail in that.
That's what's exciting about this, man.
It's one of it's one of my predictions.
We're about to really find out. This is going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. So, best of luck to you out there, Dylan.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Go have a good time in Jamaica, but not too good of a time until after your races. Think about us. Think about your family.
Yeah. Dude, I hope the crowd is just so much fun.
The cash money.
I'm trying to. Honestly, one of my biggest things is getting I want to get a little tan.
You've been saying that for a few weeks.
Yeah, well, I saw some pictures after.
Dylan's been talking about it all winter.
Yeah, what were you doing in Phoenix? Were you not tanning in Phoenix?
I was trying to lock in.
He was talking about it. He was talking about it every single day in Phoenix.
Yeah, no, I did a couple days, but then I was like, shoot, USA's is in 4 days.
Starting getting the energy drained.
Yeah. I'm like, the issue was I saw a couple pictures at Worlds, and I was like, oh, shoot, I need to get on my tan game.
That woke you up a bit.
Yeah. It's I wasn't looking at these pictures. It's how do I look? It's dang, I'm looking a little pale right
just
now.
You
just stay a couple extra days in Jamaica after the race.
That's what I was talking to Whitney on the way back, actually, and she said that's what they're doing. They're just taking a little vacation. Because, I mean,
you've been going all indoors. You need a couple
of
days.
It's the end of the season. I mean, it'd be cool. I wish I thought about that earlier. It would have been nice.
Hey, airlines let you change flights.
Why not? That is true.
It's actually the place to do it. It's the time and the place to do it. If you're going to do it any time and place, it's right now. Dude.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
I'm trying to come back and train with the boys, though, Got to get back.
What Dylan's most nervous for, though, is the... what's it called?
The drip check.
That's actually Dylan at the forefront of Dylan's mind for this weekend.
When Yard told me about it, I was like, oh shoot, man, I gotta find a fit.
So there's a red carpet, or what is it?
No, it's just at the press conference. So they want a lot of people there, and
athletes to dress up and a little fashion show, if you will.
Some call it a fashion show. Well, they just say
some call it a drip check.
They just say they want to see, don't change anything. They just want to see your drip, your fit. So I, but the thing is, I'm going to have to like
change everything.
Change it.
This wardrobe is not working.
Yeah. What I wear to practice and normal stuff, I can't do. So
it doesn't, it's just not going to work. Yeah,
like,
drip check.
Unless you think like on sweats and on sweatshirt, you think that might do?
I don't know.
It's drippy. It's drippy.
It is nice. Yeah, I see what you're saying though. So we're very excited to. Well, do you want to tell the people what you're wearing, or do you want to leave it as a surprise?
Well, I don't know yet, because I'm nervous. I like have an idea, but it's like, shoot, I don't know if I will actually pull through with that idea. I went to Robert. The first time I was on, I talked about how he got me an outfit in New York.
That's true.
I went to him and I was like, yo, what do you think?
I need another outfit.
He wanted to take you to the fancy shop.
Yeah, he did say Canoe Club, and I was like, ooh, okay, hang on.
I don't know if I can afford that.
That's expensive.
Wait till I win, win my first one. I'm excited to see which distance runner actually goes the hardest in that.
I reckon Cooper will have a good fit.
Yeah.
I feel like
he's big fashion guy, Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
He's drippy. And drippy is like, the thing is, when you say drip tech, that's like a specific type of fashion. That's not like, that's different from like, yeah, red carpet, traditional fashion. If you say drip tech, that means like, let's get the sportswear type vibes out, which I think that is kind of his vibe as well.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what Yard pulls out.
Me too, actually.
Something orange for sure.
Yeah. Okay. He could be looking good.
Yeah, he'll be looking good.
Or yellow.
Oh, man, I'm just thinking like, some people probably have ideas of what they're going to wear to like all of them, some of the racers. They're like, oh, this one's in Miami.
I have an idea
for it. Like,
it's progression.
100%.
It's funny that every meet just decided like that's what we got to do now. Like, or the, I mean, it's particularly
it became
for, like,
a thing indoors.
It's particularly for like, but even last this season, I'm thinking back to the red carpets. They had all of them, like, I think literally specifically for like Noah Lyles. So it didn't look weird when he pulled up wearing
his Gucci suits.
Yeah. Otherwise it'd just be like, why are you wearing that? Like, you need to see. So I think they started just making this so it makes sense to wear that stuff.
Should I pull up and have the Pokemon card in my like, in my fit?
Yeah.
Pull it on.
That'd be dope. That'd be a move. That'd be a move right there. But yeah, we're so excited to see how this first edition of the Slam goes. And we're so happy that you get to go compete in it. So,
dude, I'm blessed.
Go out there and do your thing, man.
I'm blessed, man. I'm excited. It's going to be a good time. And I'm sure we'll have a lot of members throughout the four that get opportunity. So it's going to be a good time.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So taking on a slight backtrack and hopping over to a different part of the world. After World Indoors, a couple of our teammates continued their journey southward onto Australia, where they competed at the Moree Plant Meet down in Melbourne, formerly known as the Melbourne Track Classic. I don't know if it's the same event, but growing up, we had the Melbourne Track Classic, and it was always a really, really good event. I was always so impressed at some of the stars that they would be able to get out there, such as David Radisha and Kiprop back before he failed his drug test when he was the best 1500 meter in the world. But it was always impressive. But from all accounts, from what I'm seeing online, it looks like the team down there has taken this meet to the absolute next level. And not just the stars, but the atmosphere, the crowd. I don't know if athletics is more popular in Australia or they're just doing a better job at, you know, making an event out of it. But seeing it on the live stream, how the crowd looked and how much people were getting into it just made me so happy. Made me sad not to be there, to be honest. And
I reckon athletics has got to be as popular as it's been in a long time in Australia.
I reckon it is.
I think it's definitely getting
coverage in the paper a lot more.
I saw something that they sold out the first meet for like the first time in like years.
Moree Plant?
It might have been that, yeah, or was it one? The National?
They just had the Sydney Track Classic. Recently.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw that this one got sold out, and it got sold out like a few days early, and I think it's 10,000 people, I want to say.
That's
and
incredible.
It's like two stands, but then all like the standing room, which actually looks so epic to have like so many people in the standing room there.
That was sweet. I think there's just a good combination in Australia of like a bunch of stars that are like
and
consistently
young stars,
winning medals, older, and then just like a ridiculous number of juniors that are like
at a world class
that are unbelievable for some reason. And there's like, and then must like someone's doing a good job marketing
that
is like creating a lot of good hype in athletics in Australia.
Yeah, it's like,
which is freaking sweet.
Isn't it crazy that like, you know, they had one of they had Topogo there, who was one of the biggest stars of last track season. And he almost, I don't know how much they paid him, but they almost like didn't even need to have him there. Is that a weird thing to say?
I think that this Gout guy that I keep saying. Yeah.
I mean, that is you can't like create a Gout. Like that, Athletics Australia have got very fortunate that they've just absolute like most famous sprinter in the world has just come out of high school
all over
in Queensland.
All over. He looks like he's killing it.
Dude, he's so dope.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good place to start before we even get into the distance events. It was the last race. Maybe I don't know if the 400 or the 200 was the last race, but the 400.
No, I think
the 200 was the last.
I reckon.
And it was meant to be a showcase for Gout, who is, as you already know, one of the biggest names, not just in Australia, but like globally. You watch a video of him sprinting and you don't even need to know what time he ran. You just have to watch how much he beats everyone and the way he moves, and you know it's something special that you're witnessing. And so, he's joined these massive crowds. But what made it even more exciting is that he came second and he got beaten. And he got beaten by Lachlan Kennedy, who we talked about last week, because he's coming off a medal at World Indoors. So having his own meteoric rise, not yet having the same coverage, but is just, a clash of titans in the end. And an unexpected one in a lot of ways. I found it so interesting that Lachlan Kennedy, in his post-race interview, he like apologized. It was like,
no, he didn't.
He showed to me, it was so humble. Like, he did it in a good way. It was like very unnecessary, but he was like, sorry for spoiling the party. Cause he knew he was very self-aware.
It was the Gout show. It was.
He was so self-aware. And he was like, sorry for spoiling the party.
Lachie Kennedy had already won the 100 like 2 hours before, or like earlier in the program.
Yeah.
And then, like the main show. But I mean, it was hard to believe, but it was Gout's first senior competition of his life. He'd only ever run like high school meets.
Yeah. It's crazy. And it's like, they still ran quick. They ran like 22.6 for the win and 20.30. I don't know how, Gout's running. He's running quicker, but also like the conditions probably weren't as good and all this stuff. But nonetheless, it was an amazing race. And the crowd really got behind it. And I think it capped off what was an amazing meet. And we had our two teammates in the 5K and the 1500, which also were both super, super exciting races. I think starting off with the 15, we had our very own Ollie lining up, a meet that he won a couple of years ago. And after he came back from a couple of years ago, he could not speak highly enough of the reception that he got down there, as he deserves, for the legendary things that he's accomplished. So we were very happy for him to get to go back and compete in it again. But this time, the playing field has changed a little bit, because we have freaking these young guns coming through. Not that we're old. I mean, we are relatively old. Not you, Dylan. Some of us are getting
Everyone's old compared to Cam Myers.
Yeah, that guy's young, dude. He's unreal.
And
he's old compared to freaking Sam Ruth, who's in the field now.
Sam Ruth was in there, which was awesome. It was really exciting because it was Cam Myers. Peter Boll was in it, so we had our 800 star in there as well. But the story ended up being Cam Myers just showed what absolute class he is right now, which we all knew after seeing his indoor season. But he went in behind the pacer, was not afraid, and then took it. And then on the last lap was able to just kick away. And second place ended up being Adam Spencer, one of the best runners in NCAA right now. Won our nationals last year, came through for second. And then Ollie was able to fight back for tying third with Jude Thomas, who was another young gun from Australia who's been up and coming the last few years in particular. I think he's been like injured and stuff, but he's like a super talented junior.
He had a very under the radar indoor season in the US.
Really good indoor season, like low key though.
Yeah. So 351 at the Dempsey.
Yeah.
And 1309 in Boston. Both just like unremarked at all. And then he went and won the 3K nationals, which is same in New Zealand. Like it's a separate meet, like Sydney Track Classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
was that Sydney
national
right?
champs basically. Yeah.
That's a great indoor season. I didn't even know who like.
And he's like,
exactly.
I think he's like 21. Like he's,
And now I don't know what is with people tying races recently too. Why is everyone be tying?
Do you think they're just too lazy to like go in and actually see?
This is the third one in the last month. Like Ollie and Jude to the thousands of a second. Sam and Sam at New Zealand Nationals. And Sage and Chrissy Gear exactly tied at US Indoors.
It is crazy. Jude is 23, sorry. He's old.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real old. That's real old.
No, but still,
So that's looking like a exciting and quite nerve-wracking 1500 coming up. And
yeah, Nationals less than 2 weeks away.
Less than 2 weeks.
An amazing preview. All those guys are going to be back there. Yeah. Plus maybe Stewie and
plus
some others.
Plus some others, probably.
So it's going to be amazing. Did you get to see that race, Dylan?
I did not see the race. It was but sick. I obviously looked up results.
Yeah.
I remember on the sleep schedule coming back, I've been like off. So I woke up in the middle of the night and
it was like the right
saw
time.
The results. Yeah. I was like, holy cow.
That's funny when that happens. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get Ollie on to talk about next week to talk about how it all went. But I think for him, I mean, he's in a, it's got to be like, it'd be like anyone. Like if I went and raced the 5K and it's just like you're racing against all these young guys who didn't exist. Well, I guess they did exist, but they're just really young and now they're coming through and it's massive. And that's definitely for us as aging runners, that's a thing that we will have to face and that we are facing at this point. So I'm really excited to get his take on it. But I think especially coming off China, which was only 5 days, that's a hard back-to-back to do. I think he's still going to be feeling pretty good about his chances going into Nationals. I think hopefully he can take confidence from that race because I think he really did actually do pretty well.
Yeah, that's a tough trip.
That 336 was a really good bounce back from Worlds, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and because I spoke to Kai and he said how tough it was for him coming off China and then racing the 5K. He said like just in terms of how his body felt and everything. And the 5K, you know, I was told, I don't know if I said this on the pod last week, but I was talking to the boys. It's so hard to race like quick. Even the 1500 is hard, but especially a 5K at this track because it's always windy and the conditions are just, going to be challenging. But the 5K was made, we have to give such a big shout out to Seth O'Donnell, who I've quietly seen him on Instagram because he'll pop up on my thing. I've been away from Australia for too long, but it seems like he's really got a cult following and 100% deserves it. I watched a video of him race a few weeks ago where he essentially soloed, I think, a 336 and the lights went off like at the stadium. It was at nighttime and the lights went off with, I think, on the second last lap and everyone like got their like phone lights out to like light up like lane one. And he came through around 336 and early this season, he soloed a 1322. So
what he's going on.
Yeah.
How old is this guy? Is he 20 as well?
I think he's about 24, but he's just one of those absolute, like, where did he come from? I don't know, but he's got so much personality, so much character. He's like, he's in a rock band. He loves. Yeah. No, he's like.
And he's another.
He's a physio.
There's this crazy phenomenon of Australian distance runners being physios. Like half of the professional runners in Australia are damn physios.
Wait, this guy's in a rock band, a physio, and is running these times?
Yeah, we got a note here. He's the drummer, Melbourne Adhesion.
And he's 24?
And they got a new album out.
Can we play a song?
Dude, yeah, put one of these songs on right now.
But just the drum, like a drum part. We need to hear a drum part.
You have to.
He looks like a drummer too. He's got like a huge, like he's got long hair.
Just check out his Instagram. Check out his reels because he makes reels and just listen to his voice and you're just like, oh yeah, this guy's like the biggest character in the world.
Oh,
like,
that's sick.
His videos, because he's a physio and he's a really good runner. So he's actually giving advice, but just the way he talks is just, he's so Australian. It's so good. All right. What if this is the wrong band? Let me just double check. No, it's definitely him. He's in the background. He's in the picture.
Nice.
All right. Do you guys want...
Like the most played song.
Most played?
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's got no drums in it.
Are there good listeners? There's like a good amount?
I mean, there's 2,000 on the most played song, which is called Diesel.
Diesel.
Yeah.
He looks like he would have a song called Diesel.
Oh, I don't know if I'm connected right now. Give me one sec, one moment. But
honestly, he raced bold, man, real bold, and it's kind of wild how much the two got away from.
Yeah, well, the field. I guess we should say what happened. He, in terms of explaining why it was such an exciting race, they went through. They were paced for about 13:20, like 8 minutes through 3K, and they went through maybe about that, maybe just a touch slow, and then I think at 3K, they ran a 67. So there's no pacer and it slowed down a bit. And then for those last four laps, he just took off. He gapped Kai and maintained that. They gapped the whole field by a lot. Gapped Kai by maybe 5 to 10 meters, and that gap remained the whole time until the last lap, where Kai was able to come through and get the dub. Congrats to Kai on another great race. But it was just so exciting because it was just like, it actually made such a good race out of it. And you know how hard it is. He was running, he went, when he gapped there, and he was running 62s, like on his own from the front, which is very hard to do.
Yeah.
All right. We ready for Diesel?
All right. Let's get it.
I'm so excited to see what this is. Yeah. That's
oh, the drums are going hard.
This is intense. Wow. I would love to see his like pre-race playlist.
Is this on Spotify?
Yeah, Spotify.
Yeah, you know how you get like a video if you're a person's like top 1%?
Yeah.
Do you think he would send a video if we like if we could hit the top?
We just stream him enough?
Yeah.
And just put the song on repeat for a while.
That's fucking hype, man. If yeah. I feel like that's only going to help his running.
Oh, that must just in the background when he was like cranking out some 62s.
As he takes it.
Just full rock band mode.
Oh, being a drummer too is like, it makes that so much better.
Yeah.
That's so sick.
So he's living a good life.
Yeah.
That's like,
he's easy to root for.
That's the thing.
I mean, I love Kai. I train with him, but damn, I wish that guy won. I'm just kidding, Kai. I'm just kidding.
This is what makes you, like, this gives such perspective on life because, like, the three of us and everyone on our team has essentially gone through the same path where our lives have just been devoted to running, and all of us have generally just gone through the collegiate system. And it's like, you just know what life we've all lived because it's been so similar and it's been so dedicated to running. So when I see someone who's having such success and they've lived such a broader life than we have been able to in some ways, it makes me so happy for them and jealous.
Well, you said he's 24, right? I think so. Being a physio,
I make a lot
already,
of mistakes.
Like, all this, like, yeah, this guy's accomplished a ton already.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Legend.
And who knows? I mean, if he's clearly on a bit of a breakout season, but you never know how far that'll go. Maybe he'll just keep progressing and keep getting better and better.
Get this guy a Grand Slam and have a band performance.
He
performs after he races.
Kyle, think about it. Make it happen. Yeah, I don't know. I hope that he can just continue. I mean, I guess I'm sure we'll see him lining up at Aussie Champs. I don't know if he, now that he's run a 13:14,
what does he normally run? Does he normally do 15s?
I think he's more of a traditionally a 1500 meter guy, but I think probably he's going to be doing the 5K now. I don't know. That's legit. That's a real legit time, especially in a race like that.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the fastest. Yeah, he can. That's a sub 13 at BU. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe 12:45.
12:45
BU. So, we should also give a shout out to our what are they? Sister teammates, brother teammates.
Yeah,
counterparts of OAC Down Under. Claudia getting the dub in the 1500.
Mm-hmm.
Who's also like 20 years old, I swear.
Yeah,
and Peyton.
Peyton in the dub in the 800.
And what did he run?
What time? I don't think it was a super, super fast. I think it was more like a 146-ish type race, 147 maybe.
But obviously Oceania going well.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably like a massive meet for them, like Mori Plan, because it sounds like it's the biggest meet like in Australia for a regular season.
It is.
They are based in Melbourne too.
Yeah. It's like, it's big time.
Home ground. No, I mean, Melbourne in Australia is the sporting city. And it's also specifically in like, It's like the distance running city as well. Most distance runners that are in Australia are probably from Melbourne.
Dude, I want to go to Australia at one point in my life.
Dude, I want to hear from, we believe that Kai and Ollie are based and training in Melbourne for leading up until Aussie Nationals. And we're assuming they're using the OAC gym and
their facilities.
Going to practice? Man, I don't know.
They might not come back.
But I would love to. I want to hear how that is. How the setup is down there. It looks sweet for the few photos I've seen. Anyway,
yeah, that's what I was wondering, because like we have some people obviously here right now who are just like using the gym and everything from Farkin's friend Luke and stuff
from OC Europe.
I was like, I wonder what he thinks like coming here and using everything comparatively to like what another group has.
Yeah, he thinks it's. Yeah, I think we have. I think they have a really good facilities down in Australia, but I think our setups is really nice as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, that's where a lot of our budget goes and is into making that space as good as possible. But I don't know. Dathan has promised us going down under for a training camp like too many times, and it's never happened.
Oh, let's get on him.
But we'll keep asking him and try to get the whole team down there. There was one point where the whole team was going to go for when the World Cross was in Australia, which would have been so fun to have actually everyone down there. Logistically, a nightmare and very expensive. But
Melbourne training camp, that sounds good.
Melbourne, Falls Creek, Australia, man, it'd be so sick. Just stop by New Zealand on the way home.
Oh, gosh. That would be incredible.
One day.
I'm thinking about it. I'm getting excited right now just thinking the idea of it.
We're going to have to do it when we're all retired and we all are bajillionaires from our running careers. We'll have to do like a tour to OAC where we stop at everyone's house. Just think about how epic of a trip that would be.
That would be all over. That would be incredible.
Circumnavigated.
Yeah. It'd be the most epic trip of all time. So we have to put that on the itinerary.
Yeah. Well, it might be in like a year with all these young kids coming up. We might be phasing out.
We'll be replaced. Just be on vacation. That's all right. So that was, actually, there was a bunch of other great races at Moree Plant that we didn't really get into, but that was it from our perspective. And yeah, both those boys, as we mentioned, are preparing now for Natty's Australian Nationals, which is in under 2 weeks. So we'll be looking ahead to that very shortly. But the other big meet, which took place this past weekend, was the 10, which George pointed out today that we forgot to talk about it last week.
Which tells you all you need to know, really.
I don't know what we were so distracted by, because I remember last week was like a slow news week and we were like, I don't know what we're going to talk about this week. And it didn't occur to us to talk about the 10. I don't know. I think that mostly reflects on our lack of journalistic ambition, ability. I don't know. But we did
does
talk
it,
about
it. Or does it tell you the state of the 10K right now?
But well, the thing is, they were actually exciting storylines in both races.
The men's race did look sweet. Actually,
they were pretty cool races.
But I think the main thing is we've had personal connections. Like the OEC has been going to the 10 since the 10 in like 2020 or whenever it was.
Yeah.
And so we've been following it because we've had someone there. The moment we didn't have a personal connection, didn't even know it was on.
Forgot about it.
And that,
how unfortunate.
And that is unfortunate.
It's an incredible event, though, it looks like. Oh, my gosh.
Well, a while ago, we thought, you know, there were going to be a few.
Yeah, there was a time like...
Hey, there's a lot of us on the start list.
Yeah, a lot of you. Just know you guys were both on the start list.
So. Yeah, us plus like three other members of the team. Yeah. Maybe more. So in another parallel universe, yeah, we all crushed it.
I think we all ran 26:30, right?
Yeah, I think we did. Unfortunately, that wasn't this universe. Yeah. But maybe next year. There's always next year. We'll be out there, because it really is if you want to do the 10K, it is really the opportunity to try and qualify for it. It's essentially it at this point. So, and we do, I mean, I my goal was initially to be racing the 10K. I know Dylan has, he's NCAA champ in the 10K, same as Kai. So it's like, it's probably going to be, when it makes sense with the rest of the season, we probably will be out there competing and trying to get those standards. And speaking of the standards, they are just absolutely ridiculous now. You have, on the women's side, they're running 16 seconds off the standard, and these are two of America's greatest distance runners of all time, and they're going for it. It wasn't like a tactical race. And I'm speaking of Elise Cranny and Wayne. Why did I just blank on her name? Wayne Clardy. I just combined her the first and last name there. And they had so the women's race, they were paced for, I think she wanted the American record, so about 30 flat. But
it was ambitious.
Yeah, it got ambitious, but I mean, if you're on the hype train,
that's what you got to do with those mates, man.
And Elise seemed like she was in incredible shape. I mean, she still is.
She is, yeah.
It's just really hard to run 30 minutes, I think.
Yeah. And
even if everything's going well,
it's very, very hard. And so it ended up being, they slowed down a bit, and it ended up being an exciting race between those two at the end, with Elise getting the dub. But it's just crazy that how fast the standard is, that
they've just gotten so wild in the past like
4 years, I feel like.
Yeah, it's just unreal. And
every year keeps getting better and better. But the thing is, like, all these young guys that we're talking about, like, people just keep running faster and faster.
Yeah, so they're the reason.
Yeah, it's they are the reason, but also, like, they're trying hard to do the 50-50 split. And there's only 27 spots on the line in Tokyo. And they only want half to come from the times.
So but how do you even work on your 10K ranking?
It's like exactly. So that is what's so dumb about it is that you have to, like, go, you have to go do another one, or you have to find a road 10K or something, or the system is broken for qualifying for the 10. But they should just make it only ranking, so then people do have to go find.
It is broken right now.
Because
we won't disagree.
The guy who ran 27.00.2 is not going to be able to go.
Have to go line up again.
That is.
And that's no worse of a run than 26.59.99.
No.
It's the exact same. Yeah.
It is, and it's tragic. But speaking of the men's race, excitement from before the gun to the finish. I don't think any of us have ever witnessed something happening like this in a race where, unfortunately, there was a little mishap before where everyone was lined up ready to go, and then I believe it was Haptam Samuel didn't have a bib. So there was a bit of a kerfuffle getting his bib, and I think they allowed the runners to go do another stride, and then all the runners are lined up ready to go again, except in the back of the picture you can see a couple literally 100 meters away from the
was
start.
Was it two people?
I think it was two. Talahun
and someone, right?
I think he was a French athlete. I don't actually know his name, so apologies to him. But we know Talahun very well because he's on athlete, and yeah, he's competing at Grand Slam next week. He's a 12:42 5K guy. And they're starting the race, and he's 100 meters back, and he's doing his stride. I don't understand how. I mean,
you come all the way from Ethiopia to run the 10. You're not going to just not do it.
Yeah.
So you just send it.
The pictures Joe sent in the group chat of like the start from the back, and you could like see those two. Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable.
What would you guys have done?
Oh,
why was someone not yelling at the starter? Like what? They've already delayed it.
The thing is, happening.
I feel like I tried to catch up so quickly. Like I would try to early, like get back.
He must have sprinted a couple laps.
The first couple laps had to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of, you remember that 1500 in Rabat with Jimmy Grecia?
Yes.
And it was a different situation, but they like didn't hear the gun go off. And so a couple of them just stood on the start line.
And then they had to just sprint.
And then they just had to like go afterwards.
What if that was someone who like ended up running like 27.02 and they just started? That would
be so bad.
Terrible.
Yeah. Fortunately, Talahun is so good that he still ran 26.52.
He ran 26.52. So he literally ran equivalent.
I wonder what
his
like, 40. What do they call it in marathoning? Like time, like chip time.
Yeah.
His
what was his chip time?
When he passed the start line, this guy's like 26.40, 26.30 something.
Yeah.
Wait, 26.50. Easily, yeah. 26.30 something, actually.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely 26.30.
It's one of the best 10K races of all time. It actually is.
Maybe that's the strat. Maybe
no,
just,
I don't
just
think
start
it
50
is.
Meters back.
Running start.
Yeah, running start.
I literally want to see you doing it. Yeah. Bro, that's actually, like, it brings up so many rule questions because I think...
Yeah, why you do that? I just do that all the time. Just stand a couple meters back.
I think hypothetically, I think technically you probably should have been DQ'd.
For what? Not being
for
still?
Probably multiple reasons. You probably have to be
like, what would the fine print say though?
What, not being set?
You have to be set.
Like not being not standing
you
still.
You do kind of like
you have to be standing still
at meets when you're like on the line and you flinch a bit. They like pull
you, can
you
get
off.
DQ'd for that. He false started. He was just too far back from the start line.
That was unbelievable. Hey, we started the race without you, so your race doesn't count.
All right, we need a rules analyst on this.
If he gets DQ'd, like, it'd be the worst, saddest thing ever, and it'd be the most terrible thing, and he definitely shouldn't. But I'm pretty sure technically, like, you're supposed to be DQ'd for that.
Maybe he was standing still back there.
I saw the video. He was not. He's just saying that would have been hilarious if like he heard the mark and then he just stopped.
It's like a Squid Game.
It's such a tragic situation that we can only laugh about because he's so good.
We can laugh about it now because he still ran so fast.
But I don't know what ended up happening to the other guy who it happened to. Yeah, so maybe we can't lie about
it. I really hope that wasn't the 27 flag guy. I really hope it wasn't.
Yeah. But still, at the front, it was an amazing race. In some ways, similar to last year with the front pack of just absolute guns. And it was crazy to see Kip Kururi, who is a New Mexico freshman, 20 years old, come out on top running 26.50. Because you're a freshman in the NCAAs running 26.50.
Good luck,
taking down teammate Hupton Samuel, who is absolute stud.
And taking down the NCAA record.
Yeah.
While you're at it.
Craziness. Absolute craziness. We had Graham shooting blanks coming in fifth, getting the 10K standard, making him 1 of 4 with it in the US. 26.57. He did quite a bit of pacing, which is not that surprising, but I think I watched his interview after and he regretted it a bit, but at the same time, I think he
was... In terms of winning the race?
Yeah, I think it was, for him, a worthwhile sacrifice, perhaps, to ensure that he got the standard.
Yeah.
If no one else was as keen to keep the pace going.
Got what mattered.
But, yeah, the main storyline has been Bekele's son, 90 meters back and running.
Did you know that Kip Kururi was world cross-country champion in Bathurst?
No.
Under 20?
I think
in Australia.
I think I saw on some Instagram or tweet when he transferred or when he signed there, how good I saw his accolades. But now that he's one of how many people that you see these absolute world-class accolades that are just freshmen in college, particularly coming from Kenya. And so it's you don't know how it's going to pan out for all of them.
Yeah, New Mexico's done a good job with theirs. I feel they're
running well too.
Yeah, they've got, two guys on a team running sub 27 in 10K.
Oh, I wonder what their training looks like.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So, it was a good race. I always butcher the name. Wildschut.
Yeah, yeah.
He was leading. He made such a good charge. I think, I don't know if he ended up third, but he was leading the last lap.
I saw that was his third 10K under 27, and he's one of a few names that
just making sure he has the standard. Just getting
three times in the
just in case any of them get erased.
The names that have done it though, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, not many people
that have done it three times. Really.
Yeah, I think it was seven or nine people, and the name is Mo Farah,
ever
crazy ever.
Well, the standard, the fact that the standard is 27 flat really warps your perspective, because Graham Blank's running. Ahmed Mohammed running 27.03 made him the seventh fastest US of all time.
That is crazy. Makes sense, because Graham was only he's the fourth person with the standard under 27, but he was only the sixth person ever
to break. Yeah.
I think it's the only other two are Chris Selinski and Galen Rupp probably.
Yeah.
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 And, the four that currently have the standard.
That's the company that you're in.
What the hell?
It is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Running, the sport's gotten crazy, man.
It has. Well, yeah, another year of the 10 going down. Yeah, hopefully next year we can be out there.
Oh, dude. All four of us. That was supposed to be on the line.
Yeah, we'll bring Joe back from the roads and get him out there.
I mean, that is a great meet. That is one that I haven't done yet, but I remember last year seeing the results and everything, and it's one that you definitely want to race.
If you want to run the 10K, you don't even have a choice.
Yourself, bro. Come on, you don't want to?
Don't have a choice.
That is true. That is true. But they do it right. They do it right.
Yeah.
Other than starting 100 back, but other than that, they do it right.
Other than that chaos.
Yeah.
Well, to wrap up today, we do have a couple of questions from Discord for you, Dylan.
Ah, perfect.
You ready?
I actually don't know if I'm ready, but I will be.
Find out. If the Grand Slam long distance field competed in a hand-to-hand combat battle royale with no weapons, what is your strategy and how long would you make it?
Oh, gosh. Hand-to-hand combat, man. I got to think of... I feel like it'll turn into four 1v1 fights. So I have to make a good decision early. I have to pick the right one. And, oh, gosh, dude. I'm definitely just looking around and going after whoever seems the the least.
Who's the weakest link?
I don't want to throw names because someone's going to come up to me maybe at this meet if they hear this pod and be like, yo, what's up?
let's fight right now.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely am looking at least intimidating and going after because I think it's going to start like 4 1v1 fights. And then I may try to like pick off, like join someone and try to take down one of the stronger guys. Maybe go like a 2v1 at a point.
Oh, that's smart. That's really smart.
Yeah, like third party.
That's a nice little Fortnite thing.
Yeah, exactly. But
sneaking in there.
I don't know if I'd fully trust my abilities in a hand-to-hand combat, but I think I might go top half. I think I'm finishing top four.
This reminds me of
maybe that should be the prize money.
Yeah.
We do a hand-to-hand combat.
Double or nothing. You get to double your prize money if... Or you just get to take the other person's prize money.
The race is it's a 5K with hand-to-hand combat involved.
Well, so it reminded me of some hypotheticals that we used to talk about in college where we were imagining a scenario where you had a cross-country race, but you were allowed to have like blockers kind of. And so your team would be made up of like you would have your runners and then you would have, you know, some like thrower from your team also out there and they would be fighting against each other to try take out the other runners. Can you imagine the spectacle?
This would be great. I mean, on a track, it would turn into the people just standing and waiting for people to come.
In cross country, the throwers would only last like 20 meters.
Yeah, it only really works in a course where you do multiple laps. That's a good point.
Oh,
but I'm just imagining.
That would be, man, not you got me thinking now at think what the strat places. Would be. Do you think, like, me and Dathan, we'd have a sit-down beforehand, like, hey, here's the person we're attacking first.
I like that Dathan's still your fight coach. I guess, makes sense. Makes sense. No, it's a good scenario. It's a good. But
who would you trust the most out of the men on the team? And
to win, like, in a hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
That's a really
we don't even
question.
Need to go at Grand Slam. We just have the guys on the team.
Now you're just talking about guys, right? Our team fighting. It's funny because most of us are actually pretty similar builds.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us are pretty similar.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone. Joe is sneaky because he's a black belt in karate.
Really?
Apparently.
Also, he's from Minnesota. I feel like there's some toughness there.
Yeah.
It's got to be. I mean.
I haven't seen Joe do karate, though.
I also have never seen it.
Because I don't know what it takes to become a black belt at the age, because I think he did it when he was a bit on the younger side.
Let's host a team talent show, and he has to do karate.
He just starts breaking some breaks. I would love to see that.
I reckon, you two would put up a good fight.
I think our team is...
I heard in college, Ali would tell me that you used to have some fun.
What are you talking about?
No, is that not... No?
I mean...
Team just boxing matches, just some fun ones?
Yeah, I mean, we had... I boxed.
I think Morg would wrestle well.
I boxed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had...
You confident in your abilities?
I mean, maybe wrestling I'd feel more confident because I have more weight than some of the other people on the team. I'd throw
low center of gravity.
Low center of gravity. Like, I think I could do well there. The one time I won't go too into detail in the story, but I was boxing against... This is such a weird link. I don't think many people listening will remember this, but an athlete that George coached by the name of Kevin Boyle. Shout out to Kev. I don't know if you're still listening, but I hope so. And I don't know if you remember this because you may have been intoxicated at the time. But he's like, he was on the rowing team. So he's like, I don't know how tall, but he's like, let's say 6'3". And he's like way more built than me.
Yeah.
And we were having a boxing match and he just punched me right in the throat.
I just
got destroyed.
How long did it last?
Dude, it was like 5 seconds. It was not good.
I remember we at Tennessee we had one. I've told the story on a run, but we had one and we got like gloves, no headgear. That was a mistake. And two freshmen were boxing, and it was just like all out. We had like two rounds, and by the end of the second round, dude, these guys are gassed. Like
boxing is so hard.
Immediately, no blocking, just everyone throwing haymakers. Like, it was incredible to watch. We had everyone like set up. It was a big event. We all planned it.
This sounds like, is this hazing? Is this what Tennessee?
No,
hazing?
They wanted to do it. They wanted to.
You guys were just facilitating.
No, hang on. How can I make this sound better? They were doing it. We showed up and saw it happening.
Just a coincidence.
Random coincidence.
Good save. Yeah, that was...
Great save. Well, I think before we say anything else that I'm getting...
get us in trouble.
Our old school is in trouble. I think it's a good time to bring this podcast to an end. Dylan.
Thanks for coming on, bro.
That was a good time, man. Shoot, I really hope that doesn't get anyone in trouble now.
Everyone's going to get exposed. The video's going to get leaked.
No, yeah, this is all hypothetical.
All hypothetical.
Good Everybody time. Go watch Grand Slam. Mostly because Dylan's in it, but also let's support our team.
Support Dylan. Support. Wow, we have so many people. Support Yara. Support Sage. Support Sagay.
Yeah. We'll hopefully put on a good show and make it entertaining for everyone to watch. And I think it's the first one, so there's definitely going to be a lot of excitement around it.
Hell yeah! Well, thank you once again, Dylan, and thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This has been episode 180 of the Coffee Club podcast. We look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. See ya.